brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
I mean, you're putting points on the board. And, you know, when it comes to young teams, it's always moments.
There is nobody more qualified and more passionate about the game than him to turn that program around.
He wants to, in the nicest way possible, destroy the guy that's lined up in front of him.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, off-season edition. John here, Hannah there. And it's always good to catch up with friends of GPB, those that we've gotten to grow in the head coaching positions. This week, no different, and it is a unique challenge that someone has taken on and has just been grabbing the bull by the horns, and it's going to be interesting to catch up and find out what the latest is up in Dalton, Hannah.
Yeah, head coach Chris Pruitt, like you said, John, traded in his green for red and doing the dang thing up in Dalton. This will be his second season, so excited to catch up with him, see how things have settled in, see what traditions he's creating, players he's moving around, offenses he's changing, kind of see, I guess, just get the full update up there, because he has a project on his hands, John.
Yes, and we're going to see right now how Chris Pruitt is doing the dang thing at Chapel Harbor, official term.
Hey, Coach Pruitt, thanks so much for joining us today. I ironically wore red. I did not plan this, but I'm happy I did.
No, it's a good look. You know, red is the new color in town. So, I mean, you gotta represent where you can.
I did. I didn't even mean to. Well, what's going on there in Dalton? You had a good rebuilding season. What have you learned after your 3-8 2025 season? And just give us the update on everything.
Learning was definitely the name of the game last year. There was a lot of high hopes going into last year, and you know, obviously 3-8 wasn't exactly where we wanted to be record wise. But I think, you know, you look at the, I always call it like, you look at the 10,000 foot view of where we're at, and comparing this spring practice to last spring practice, it wouldn't even be like on the same stratosphere or anything close to the way our actions and our work has been in the weight room or on the practice field. Things have been tremendously better. Our kids have really bought into our culture and really, really honed in on kind of how we want to be on a day-to-day basis. So the spring leading up to the off season, kind of culminating in spring, was really a growth to see, some of our guys, I try to tell people, like, we were super young last year to the point like 75% of our team couldn't drive to practice. That's how young we were as far as scheduling things. And so to see them grow up and mature, not only like in the weight room, not only on the field, classroom, but like going through real life and, you know, going through that, you know, ages 15, 16 and 17, they're a whole different group than what we started at this point last year. There's a lot of room to grow, and there's still a lot of things to improve on, but definitely learned a lot last year, on and off the field. I think there was a good learning curve to the city of Dalton in general, and to this program, like, of some things that, talking with one of my coaching buddies this weekend, it's things that you got to reestablish and re-put into your foundation of kind of, this is the way we're going to be. And some of those things are, this is the way we're not going to be. And I think there was a lot of success in doing that last year. There was a lot of momentum throughout the year. We obviously didn't want to start 0-5, but we started 0-5 and then won 3 out of our last 5 games. I love the GHSA for, allowing us to go down and play Creekside in round one. And I think we hit 3 out of the top 4 teams in the state. We hit North Oconee week 2, hit Cartersville week 5, and finished the season off with Creekside in week 11. So we definitely saw like what it looked like, and we definitely saw what it should look like as far as 3 programs that or where we want to be at the end of the day. We want to be playing after Thanksgiving and playing all the way into December. And we're working really hard every day to do that.
And the offense, that you had implemented up there last year with all of that young talent. I mean, you're putting points on the board. And, you know, when it comes to young teams, it's always moments. And it's a, you know, a moment here, a moment there, whether it's a positive moment that gets you closer to a win or a negative moment that pulls away from you. And you get to learn from that, too. When you start the season the way that you did, and you mentioned how young you were, what were the reminders? Because when you're talking about 14, 15, 16 year old, you know, young student athletes, it kind of sticks the bad kind of hangs with you a little longer, and it might take a little longer to just kind of sit there and say, okay, you're learning with this. Don't let it, you know, drag you down. What were those conversations like with those freshmen and those sophomores? That's like, okay, we can learn from this. Just don't let it, you know, stick with you, even though we know that it might.
And your quarterback can finally drive to practice, I think, this year.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's a super positive thing when you talk about, you know, throwing receivers and throwing kind of extra work. You got to put in the fact that people can actually get there this year. So that'll be a good thing. But no, I think, you know, the first half of the season, I think everybody was in the same point. Like, I think we all knew we were better than what we had shown. You know, I thought during the spring we went and played a really good Tryon football program. That's a smaller school, but like people that know the state of Georgia know that Coach Patrick over there is going to have a good team every year. And I think we had a successful scrimmage, and, you know, coming out of the gate, I think we had a lot of confidence. And, you know, ultimately we didn't do, in my opinion, what we needed to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to earn the right Friday to win. And that was something, again, like, you know, we talked about it last week when we were at a 7-on-7 tournament. Like, we want to win. You know, that's, everyone wants to win, but like, well, are we doing the things that get us to a win? Are we taking care of the football? Are we blocking and tackling and being in the right stuff? Are we communicating before the snap? Are we picking each other up when someone makes a mistake? That's the type of stuff that we weren't doing at the beginning of last year. And again, like, you know, the worst part of this is this whole program wants to win, and this whole town wants us to win, and this whole school wants us to win. The kids want to win. And sometimes it comes down to, like, we didn't make a tackle right, or we missed a block, or we missed a check, and put us in a bad situation. And our team really unified together, I thought. And when I say this, like, you'll kind of understand the makeup. I think our group, on average, you know, if you look at the average age of our team last year, was about 15 and a half years old. Now, at the end of the year, you know, you look at our four captains that walk out, and I think the average age was about 16. So, you know, the younger group really took over. You know, you hope that the senior class is your best example of leadership. And one of the things that I learned very early at Roswell, sometimes your senior group that comes through the program, they're not the vocal, loud leader group. It may be a sophomore, it may be a junior. You know, I look at our group now, and there's groups that, like, I think we have a couple freshmen that are probably the leader of their group because they're the loudest voice, but they also put in the work and put in the time and put in the effort. And us as coaches, like, to me, I don't care if they're 14 or 19, like, whoever's the best kid needs to be the one standing out in the front of the group. You know, and hopefully, you know, by the end of this development, and hopefully by the end of the time you go through the process of building a program, hopefully, yeah, every kid that's 19 or 18 is your best leader at the end of the day, but it's not always going to be that way. So they stuck together, I think, for a really, really good group. That there was a lot of stuff that could have broke them apart. And I think that was the thing that made me the most proud in the first game that we won this past season. I think we go up 21-0 in the first quarter, and we gave it right back in the middle of the second quarter. So even in the win, there was a lot of adversity to get that done. And I said, that was the thing that made me the most proud of them. You know, they stuck together. We had been in a situation 2 weeks before. We had a lead in the fourth quarter. And I mean, it was like the wheels fell off the wagon. It just went everywhere. And to see them grow even through the 2 week period of week 4 to week 6 and get that done. I mean, it was, it was a, I think there was a lot of wins that I've been extremely proud of, but that beating Alatoona last year was probably one of the prouder moments of my coaching career, was being able to see those guys get success. I mean, they played, you know, I think about it, you know, from a perspective, like when I was in middle school, I think I played 3 years without winning, you know, and it was, it's tough. It's hard. And there's not a, in Dalton, Georgia, there's not a place you can go hide and hear someone be, you know, say something positive if you're losing every single game. And so they get staying together and staying connected with each other was the biggest part of that. And understanding that at the end of the day, it's on us to get it right. It's not going to be a play we run or a name we call a play. It's really us executing Monday through Friday and then doing it all on Friday and taking care of business.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have sparks of confidence to ignite the whole team. I mean, I completely get that, and that sounds like a fantastic one for the team last year. Well, your QB1 is only going to be a junior, Kane Woods. How many seniors are you going to have this year?
Yeah, our senior class will be about 13 or 14 kids.
Okay.
Yeah, so we you know, I think last year when I got to Dalton, I think we had a senior class of 8. We worked that up to about 12 or 13 again. You know, I think this class is a little bit different. There's an eclectic group of kids in that class. A lot of production that played the year before, as far as seniors go. But I think Kane and there's a couple of those kids in that sophomore or rising junior class that are, you know, they definitely are the catalyst that get us going, you know, from a team perspective.
And you look at your schedule this year, and for those that have not done the math yet, it's still in 7-5A, and the schedule is Rockmart, where now Rockmart, it's not Biff Parson anymore, it's Rich Finley, so his pedigree comes over and is a part of there at Rockmart. Then you've got Calhoun coming to Harmon Field. It's Cedartown is coming to Harmon Field after the bye week, and then region play. You've got Cartersville and Cass. Those two are on the road. When you look at the schedule, it's another schedule that you can learn from. You can learn different lessons along the way. The pedigrees are there with a lot of these programs, but those are the kind of challenges that you want if you're wanting to continue to improve to get this program where you want to get it to.
No, I was very direct in kind of how I wanted to approach our schedule. You know, one of the things I thought we did a really good job at Roswell was trying to play a team week one that got us ready during the summer, that kind of had us have a singular focus about who we're playing. And even before Coach Finley got to Rockmart, I mean, there's a traditional quarterfinal plus team. You know, a closer game for us. You know, the biggest challenge I think we had last year, and really the last 2 years, if you look at it from a program standpoint, going to Raven County and going to North Oconee, you know, not only is the Friday night hard, but when you get home at 3 a.m, Saturday is now almost completely gone. So you almost operate like a day behind, which is tough. Not to make any excuses, like we could make it and get it everything done. But I was very direct in trying to play teams around us, but also play some teams that are really, really good year in and year out to give us an opportunity to improve, see some different things, and hopefully prepare us better for the region. You know, the difference, obviously, you know, saying the easy part out loud here, like we're so far away from most of the state of Georgia. So we've got to, you know, we spent a lot of time during the summer coming down to Atlanta or going to Auburn, like we did last week, and trying to get some good competition. And, you know, if we go and scrimmage ourselves every day, that's not going to simulate Cartersville and Calhoun. We got to go out and find really, really talented, high level competition and play that day in and day out if we can. And I think that was one thing that is obviously a challenge, just again, because, you know, it's, even if we want to get to Atlanta, it's a two hour bus ride at best. And that's without the lovely traffic of Atlanta. So, you know, you've got to really be direct in that. And again, I think having Rockmart and Calhoun and the, you know, Heritage, Catoosa is a really good program, and Northwest Woodfield put it on us last year. And There's a lot of challenges that come with playing those four teams, and you know, I think we're in a better situation to handle those challenges. And obviously, like I'd put our home schedule up there with really anybody in the state. It's a really good group of teams to come over here and play. And you know, I thought for the most part after the early part of the year, I thought we played our best football at home. You know, we didn't always play four quarters that way, but I thought we played our best football later in the year at home. And, you know, I think gives us challenges. And like you said, you know, I think you and I have talked about this before. It's kind of like a three-part season. You got to get prepared for region, and you got the region to hopefully prepare you for the playoffs. And that's something that we've got to grow in and continue to push ourselves to the playoffs, to where we're not satisfied with making it and participating. You know, and I shot down the idea of getting a t-shirt for making the playoffs, you know, cause that's just that needs to be a bare minimum thing, that we're in the playoffs and we're trying to advance as many rounds as we can. And hopefully, you know, playing in December.
I would have taken one of the t-shirts, Coach.
Well, we'll have to get you, we'll get you connected with some good playoff shirts at some point.
My last topic for you is about one of your upcoming seniors, Aiden Ashlock, the senior tight end, defensive end. He was on Make That Kid an Offer. And after we showed the video of him during one of our games, apparently it blew up. Tell us about that, Coach. 20-something offers for the kid. He's outstanding.
I mean, Aiden's a great kid. You know, I think first and foremost, I think the way I've always described him, like, I don't know what he is, but like, I think you'd want him on your team and you'd want him on your 11 guys as far as playing football. You know, he plays tight end for us and does a really good job, you know, on the offensive side. And one of the things that really impressed me was, you know, late in the games, especially some later situations throughout the year, I think he jumped in the line and was yelling or getting after our D-line coach to get him in there so that he wanted to finish the game off. And, you know, those are the type of kids that you want. And, you know, if we had 22 kids with that mindset every single play, like we're going to be a force to have. And I think he's a unique skill set as far as a tight end goes, a little bit old school than what you would probably see sometimes. You know, he wants to, in the nicest way possible, destroy the guy that's lined up in front of him. You know, he wants to bury the guy that's lined up across from him. And he does a good job, whether it's in space, in the box. I think he's a unique skill set. And again, being a 6'4", 230-pound body, you know, he makes some things a little bit easier for us as far as getting them in space and helping them on the perimeter, or even giving them something coming out of the backfield. He does a really good job. And I think, you know, there's a couple, I think Sunbelt and that little conference, I think he's got a couple of visits and stuff like that set up. So I'm excited to see. I mean, he's one that I could definitely see, if he doesn't stay for a 4-year stint at one of those places, going there, doing really well and having an opportunity to play somewhere bigger, just because of his work ethic and the drive that he has, you know, as a football player, but also taking care of things in the classroom.
And it's great to see these well-rounded student athletes, and the fact that you're getting a lot of looks for him, and then that draws more interest in the program and with what you're building there up in Dalton. It's been really cool to see. Someone who has never backed down from a challenge. You've never done that on the field or off, and now you're getting to do that up there at Dalton. Coach, it's always great to see you, and we're all going to keep knocking on your door to kind of continue to get the progress report in a great football town, in a great football school with the history and everything that's attached there in Dalton, and just keeping an eye on everything that's going on there in the red and white with the Catamounts. Thanks for hopping on and being a part of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast with me and Hannah. It's always great to see you.
Thank you guys so much for everything you guys do, and looking forward to a good year up here in Dalton.
I mean, for someone who's never, if they've never been to Northwest Georgia, I mean, by the way, maybe somebody could buy my first book, because I talked about Dalton as one of the first, one of the chapters in my first book about its history and how much football, and both football, you know, FUTBOL and FOOTBALL, means to that community, to the Catamount community. And so Chris has never backed down from a challenge.
What's the book called?
Backroads and Backfields, by the way. You can pick it up on Amazon.
Okay, there you go. There you go, folks.
So there's your plug. But yeah, Dalton was one of the chapters in the book, and I caught up with Coach Chapel and got to kind of find out what it was like as he was there building the program. And they've had some lean years, and now Chris is there, and he's never backed down from a challenge. And I'm intrigued. I want to see how this continues to grow. And it's one of those cities, one of those programs that you root for. And now Chris Pruitt is the one who's in charge, trying to turn things around for the Catamounts on the football side.
Yeah, I remember this time last year, we were so confused. And I think we said that to him. We were like, Coach Pruitt, what are you doing in Dalton? But there is nobody more qualified and more passionate about the game than him to turn that program around and keep going forward. So I cannot wait to see what he does with it. And I have a feeling that we'll be hearing a lot about Catamounts making playoff runs in the next coming years.
Yep, 7-5A is the region that they're in this new orchestration for the next couple of seasons. Allatoona, Cartersville, Cass, Cedartown, Dalton, Villarica, and Woodland. And so it is a six-team region, and the way that Dalton structured their schedule is Rockmart at Northwest. And so literally it is Dalton at Tunnel Hill at Northwest Whitfield in week number two for them, at Heritage Catoosa, and then they wrap up with Calhoun and Clay Stevenson visiting Dalton, two great football towns coming together for that one in week number four. Then they get the bye. So that gives them a chance to reset on the week of the 18th of September, and then they go into their region play. It is home to Cedartown, at Allatoona, home to Woodland, Cartersville, home to Villarica, and then it is at Cartersville and at Cass. And you want to talk about two road game in season to kind of figure out where you are with a young growing program. I don't think that, you know, you're going to find two others at Cartersville and at Cass to wrap up the regular season for Coach Pruitt. And I'm looking forward to seeing what 2026 has in store for them with young kids. And who knows, maybe we can go two for two and trying to find the make that kid an offers as the program continues to grow there in Dalton.
Oh yeah. When we catch up with Coach Pruitt this season, we'll have to get another nominee and get those names out there. But I just hope that they don't meet Creekside in round one on a state record-breaking season for points scored. I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah, Creekside moved up in class, so it won't have to be. So it's safe in that regard, but obviously 5A is going to be incredibly competitive. But that's the next set of challenges for Coach Pruitt and the Dalton Catamounts. Really looking forward to it.
All right, I'm prepared for everyone behind the glass. I've got the nicknames down.
Okay.
How many podcasts has this been? This is podcast 1,999, and I still cannot get all your nicknames down, John.
Well, because most of them are thought of on the fly, and you're trying to sit there, and it's like, okay, so who is it? I mean, look, even to the point where an unknown intern is in there, and if I see an intern and I've never met them, it's obviously unknown intern. So that's an easy one to figure out.
Unknown intern.
But since last time, so it's Ambassador Jeremy King, James, and Marky Mark. Just those three.
Super easy today. Yeah, super easy.
Yep. Just those three.
That's what we got.
So next month, when we look at July, that means we're that much closer to August, and we're that much closer to season 30 of Football Fridays. And GPP's coverage of high school football in the state of Georgia.
Season 30. Haven't you been a part of this since season one?
Yeah, 34. Thank you. So it was
a lot more hair then, John.
You aren't kidding, sister. But no, it was. This is, I think, season 13 for Football Fridays.
Okay.
And season 30 for the championships.
Yeah.
1997 was our first year of covering the championships, and the championships themselves were on what we refer to in the business as DVC Pro Tape. And so they might be in my desk, but we're going to be looking at the 30th anniversary of GPB and our football coverage all season long. And we're also that much closer to training camps and getting ready for practice being for real, because week zero is going to be here before we know it. And then we're off and running in the 26th season. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, season 30. It has been an honor to be a part of eight of them, or is it nine?
I think it's nine.
Oh, man. I don't know. Nine. I had more hair 9 years ago, too, John, so it's fine.
Well, there are certain advantages that you have that I don't. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to say that your normal circumstances, that's not a concern for you. For me, you could probably tell the difference if I tried to do something differently, you know, tried to add, which would be a really bad idea because first and foremost, the boss would not allow it, or she would laugh at me the entire time. And that is not something that you want in the house.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Your hair looks great.
Well, amazing what happens when you are this close to a haircut and you're trying to sit there and go, you know what? Maybe it should look good before the haircut. It always looks best right before the haircut, mm-hmm. and then it all goes away, and you have to start the process all over again. So, enough about my shampoo issues.
I think that's a podcast, John. I think that is a podcast.
I would agree. So, on behalf of everybody at Georgia Public Broadcasting, for everybody behind the glass, everybody making all the technology work, because I sure as heck can't. She's Hannah. I'm John. Thanks for dropping by the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast off-season edition. Back before you know it. And we're getting that much closer to the kickoff of the 26th season. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy your time. And thanks for hanging out with us as much as you do here at GPB.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.